Today is the Tirumbhavatiti of Lokanath Goswami. Is that right? It's the disappearance day of Lokanath Goswami. They had a big function there at his temple, Gokulananda temple. Actually, his deities were Radha Vinod, the deities of Radha Vinod are in Jaipur. Upstairs in a middle, a tiny little temple above some shops on the main road, Tripoli Bazaar, nearby the Radha Govinda temple. Anyone ever saw? You ever saw? It's like between a sari shop and an auto parts store or something. I don't know, there's a little tiny door, really tiny, like you have to be a little bit skinny or you can't get up there. And straight up the stairs and there they are, very, very beautiful deities. There's a picture of them in the Samadhis book. There's a book on Samadhis. And there's a picture of Radha Vinod, Lokanath Goswami's deities are there. And generally on the disappearance day of the Vaishnavas, in this song we speak about their glories. So this song, Narottam Das Thakur, he's lamenting Vilap, lamenting the Viraha, separation from the Parshads, Bhagavad Parshad, all the Parshad means family, all the family members of the Lord, the Nitya Siddha Vaishnavas that were all gracing this planet. Of course, most of them were coward boys and coward girls, gopas and gopis who came with Lord Chaitanya to preach and spread Krishna consciousness in male forms during Gaur Leela. As we know, Swarup Damodar is the great preacher. There's a whole line coming from Swarup Damodar, and he's the Lita Sakhi. Ramananda Roy is Vishakha, and Champakalata and Tungavidya, they took different positions. But Lokanath Goswami is also I believe a Sakhi. So this song is reminding us from the viewpoint of Narottam Das, he's missing all these devotees because he's living here in this world and they're all gone. They've already returned with Gaur Nataraj. Swarup Damodar, Advaitacharya, the first line is translated as Srinivasacharya, but as we'll come to see in a new songbook that's being produced by Ishvara Das, he explains that this Acharya Thakur means Advaitacharya, because Srinivasacharya was very much alive when Narottam wrote this song, Sasparshana Bhagavat Viraha Janita Vilap. So you're living with somebody, you don't start crying, oh, he's gone. Unless, of course, you're at Prem Sarovara and you're in Prema Vaichitya of Radharani sitting on Krishna's lap and crying out for Madhusudana. But that's a different type of separation. So anyway, it's a little bit wrong in the translation there. Acharya Thakur. It should be Advaitacharya. And he explains in a footnote to his songbook about that. That should be coming out in Kartik or maybe sooner. Very nice. All the songs of Narottam Das Thakur, it's Prarthana. Basically, it's Prarthana. This song is excerpted from Prarthana. Prarthana means prayers. So today, there's a mention, of course, in our Chaitanya Charitamrita. We saw that Prabhupada, he mentions Lokanath Goswami in Madhya Leela, chapter 18, verse 49, in one purport. He's mentioning all the limbs and branches of Lord Chaitanya's tree. We can read that to begin our reading of Chaitanya Charitamrita. At least sometime during the day we should try to go there, either mentally, by our ears, go there to that place, Lokanath Samadhi. When you go to Gokulananda Temple, which is near Radharaman, that's the big samadhi, the big building there in that little complex of samadhis with Vishwanath Chakravartipad, Narottam Das, Ganga Narayan, Krishnadev Sarvabhauma. The biggest one there is Lokanath Goswami. Sange Gopala, this is Madhya Leela chapter 18, verse 49. Sange Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath, Raghunatha Bhatta Gosai Aralokanath. When Rupa Goswami stayed at Mathura, he was accompanied by Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and Lokanath Das Goswami. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Sri Lokanath Goswami was a personal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and a great devotee of the Lord. He was a resident of the village named Talakati in Bengal. He established a temple named Gokulananda. Of course, his deity is Radha Vinod. Of course, Lokanath Goswami is famous in our minds as a very renounced personality. It talks here in the purport about how he accepted one person as his disciple. So who did Lokanath Goswami accept as his disciple? Narottam Das Thakur. We all know that quite well. It's a very touching story of Guru Shishya and Lord Chaitanya appearing in a dream to both of them. And it's very nice. And then here in the purport, it probably mentions that we don't find much about Lokanath Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita because he was there when it was being written. Just imagine if someone was writing the history of ISKCON or the ISKCON Lilamrita or something, and they were writing about Vrindavan from the years 1987 to 1998. All the different devotees that have are living here and what they do and did and things like that. You might go to that author, and of course in our case, we would go to the author and say, hey, what are you writing? Is my name there? Is my picture there? You have my name over there? But at least in Lokanath Goswami's days, when Krishnadas Kaviraj was compiling this great treatise on the banks of Shamakund, this book, this wonderful shastra, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lokanath said, please don't mention my name. That means a lot, because Lokanath Goswami was the first one sent here by Lord Chaitanya. He and his, you could say, sidekick or friend, Bhugarbha Goswami. Bhugarbha Goswami, of course, has a samadhi that we might be familiar with also. Where is that samadhi? Radhadamodar, the little square one jutting out from the corner. The little square one on your way around the parikrama of the two samadhis. You go up a little, kind of a funny little detour. That's Bhugarbha Goswami's samadhi. So these two devotees, of course, joined Lord Chaitanya from the very beginning of his Mayapur Leelas. And when he met them, he said, please, you go to Vrindavan and you uncover the places of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. So Lokanath Goswami and Bhugarbha Goswami were wandering all around Braj and trying to find different places. And of course they did, by the mercy of Vrindadevi and the Dham itself, they were able to find several pastime places of Radha and Krishna. So they were the seniors. They were like the grandfathers of Vrindavan. So naturally they would be extremely mentioned in these, a book like Chaitanya Charitamrita, but they were very much humble. But Narahari Chakravarti Pad, when he was writing this Bhakti Ratnakar, sometime after this book was written, Chaitanya Charitamrita, he didn't have any restriction on who he could include and who he couldn't include. So he specifically described the glories of Lokanath Goswami in chapter 5, Mathura Mangala Parikrama, which is chapter 5 in his book, Bhakti Ratnakar. So, with the permission of Lokanath Goswami, we'll read about his glories, because Narahari Chakravarti has left this for us, so we hope that Lokanath Goswami won't be angry with us for glorifying him. Rather, this is the proper thing to do, or activity to do on this sacred day. It's to remember these wonderful devotees. Of course, they're inconceivably more advanced than we could ever think of being, because they're all always advanced. They're in Nitya Siddha. But nevertheless, they exhibit apparent Nara Leela, and they grow, and they appear in this world in Gaura Leela, and then they do bhajan, and they have trials and tribulations, and reciprocations with the Lord, and they teach many aspects of bhakti and devotion to us. So we want to appreciate their lessons, their life and their teachings. We can't imitate their lives, but we try to follow their teachings. Imitation is anukaran, I believe, and following in the footsteps is anusharan. So So we can't really imitate their lives, but we can try to follow their teachings. And we'll try to think of some of those teachings. So this is a description of the renunciation and service of Lokanath Goswami at a place called Kishori Kund. In Vrindavan, there are many Kishori Kunds. In fact, when you wander around Vrindavan in different places, you ask a particular person, what is the name of this Kund? They'll say, oh, that's Kishori Kund. Kishori is Radharani. Kishori, Kishori, all they say, that's Krishna Kund. A classic example is in Gavarvan, in Barsana, on the Parikrama Marg, you pass through a Kund before you go up the hill a little bit and turn right. Past Morkutir is on your right up on the hill, and then on your left is Mankutir. And then you go down, you go through this very nicely developed and maintained Kund. Lots of trees, shady trees around it, Ashwat and other auspicious trees. And I had always a lot of monkeys having fun over there, jumping off the tree and bathing in the summer and playing about. So you ask someone locally, what's the name of this Kund? Oh, this is Kishori Kund. This is Radha Kund. And you ask another person who lives next door to the same village, but he lives next door to that other person, what's the name of this Kund? That's Krishna Kund. So it's a matter of bhav, a matter of what is their emotional attachment or their particular ishtadev, and that's what Kund it is. But this particular Kund, there is a Kishori Kund in Yavat, and I know that we saw the other day, on Monday or Tuesday, whatever it was. And this one, it's not exactly clear where it falls. He's describing Chatravan and Umrao, and then as they're moving around, then the next thing he's describing is Umrao, then Kishori Kund. So I understand that this Kishori Kund is in a place called Umrao. Also, second name is Umrai, and it's between, it's in the middle between Chata, Barsana, and Sahar. So it's in that area, from Chata and Barsana. So this beautiful Kishori Kund is very dear to Kishori, Rishabhanu's daughter. Seeing this wonderful place, Lokanath Goswami felt great pleasure within, and he stayed there and lived for a short time. There's no end speaking to the renunciation of Lokanath Goswami. Radha Vinod bestowed their mercy on him here. Whenever he got fruits and roots or some spinach or rice in his madhukari, he would beg what we call kacha bhog. He would beg raw things, and then he would cook them and offer them to his deities. This is often the highest standard of madhukari, is simply to beg some atta and cook yourself. Or in the case of Sanatana Goswami, he would do madhukari and beg atta. As you know, it means flour. Or they came to know that's what he wanted. And he would take the atta, then he would go down to, on his way home, he would stop below his kutir, because in those days it was very convenient because Yamuna flowed right below and beside his kutir at Dwarasadittila. So he'd pick up a little water on his way up the hill, then he mixed that Yamuna water with the atta. And then he'd take a little bit of raj for spicing. You need some proper, you know, some, like you might put some ghee inside, make puris, or put, anyway, different, ajwan or whatever. So he put a little spicing, a little brajaraj inside, brajaraj, yamuna, and atta. He make a little ball. Then he would gather some twigs, some dried twigs, as you see all these ladies carrying the twigs on their head. You know, they always have a big stack of little twigs from here and there. And so he would gather those little twigs and leaves and make a little fire somehow. And then he would, when the fire was cooking and getting into ashes, he would take his little balls and throw them in the ashes, in the cinders, they call it, in these hot cinders. And then they would kind of roast up there. It was a little cookout, little type outing type picnic. And that was called bhati. And then he would take those balls and he would go and he put them on a leaf plate. He got a nice leaf plate. And he would offer them to Radha Madan Mohan, Madan Mohan, and say, oh, Madan Mohan, please, you enjoy. It's very nice, first class, chapan bhog. So he would offer this nice chapan bhog. Chapan bhog means 56 preparations. It was 56 plus the bhati. Because the bhati doesn't fall in chapan bhog. It's set in the 57th one. So he would offer Chapan Bhog in his mind, just as we do when we make offerings. Bhakti Nodis giving us that beautiful song. Bhakata Vatsala Sri Gurahi Gurahari Bhogartik song. Shukta Shak Adi Bhaji Nalita Kushmanda. All those different preparations. Shuk Shak Adi Bhaji Nalita Kushmanda. Dali Dalan Dugda Tumi Dari Mochakanda. There's so many things you see there in a Bhogarti song. So that's for Smaran Bhajan, and for sadhakas, unless you're in Puri. And of course, Jagannath Swami, he's eating 56 preparations every day. So that's why he's always smiling. He's smiling the most. No deity in the whole world is smiling as much as Jagannath, because no deity eats as much as he does. Because usually devotees also smile after they have a big feast. I see. And if the feast isn't nice, it goes the other way. You know, opposite of smile, a frown or something. How was the feast? Oh, yeah, feast. Haribo. You know, there's rice and dal and then puris. Big feast, puri feast. You know, so... But if there's a proper feast, then the devotees, everyone can have dreams about the feasts of yore, days of yore when feasts were bold. And that means in other countries also, like the feast in Rome, or the feast in London, or the feast in Paris, or the feast in New York, or those were really love feasts. Indian love feasts are like more like bhakti feasts, not like unblown prema, just like beginning of love. So he had that. So Sanatan Goswami would offer this bhakti. So Lokanath Goswami was the same way. Whatever he got in Madhukar, he would offer to Radhavinod with great devotion. During the rainy season, which is now, and winter seasons, Lokanath Goswami stayed under this tree, which is being pointed out to the Parikrama party, with only an old quilt and a very old outer cloth. So that's Kopin and Kanta. Kanta means old quilt. Old quilt means you find a little scrap of cloth here, a little bit of wool, a little bit of cotton, here and there and here and there, and you get some thread and you sew all those pieces together. In English we call it a patchwork quilt. And then of course that's quite an elaborate thing, but this was their patchwork cheddar. All different little pieces put together. And that was their kopin. Kopin is of course something else. But that's kanta. Kopin and kanta. We sing Srinivasa Acharya glorifies the Goswamis. All they had was kopin in the summer, and then they would cover themselves, not only kopin, but in the winter they would have kanta. Sing Tyaktva Turnama Shesha Mandalapati Shenim Sadatu Chavat Bhutva Dina Ganesha Kokurunaya Kopina Kanta Shrito. Kopina Kanta Shrito. Ashrita means shelter, ashraya. They took shelter of kopin and kanta. In the summer they took shelter of a kopin. Just like we take darshan of Radha Raman at this time of the year. It's very, very beautiful. I don't know if we mentioned, but it's very fresh in my mind. We just came back to Vrindavan after 6 months being on the road, on the roads of Delhi. All up and down, everywhere in Delhi for 6 months, everywhere, and then around India for 2 weeks. So we came back to Vrindavan after a long, dry period. We went to see Radha Raman in the evening time, late in the evening, 8:30, it was maybe 9 o'clock, very late time. He was still giving darshan. And he was standing out front, it was about 5-6 days ago, a week ago or something. He was standing out front of his altar, a handful of people in the temple, and all he had on was a little white, little silver kopin. Just a tiny little, itsy-bitsy little tiny string around his waist, just a little string around his waist, and a little piece of cloth around his other, you know, mid part. And his body was glossy. It's already glossy, but it was shining and glossy. Radha Raman, they're looking so beautiful. And I was just looking at because I was like a dying man that's been revived to life after such a long dry spell, to see the beautiful form of Radha Raman. It is great relish for the devotees. So we are just appreciating the beauty of Radha Raman and the mercy of Gopal Bhatta and Lord Chaitanya, and lost in our own prayer and our own thought. And then someone from the side just gave me this huge hug, like a bear hug. It's like, wow. I just broke my darshan and my, you know, reverie of whatever. And then I saw that it was Padmanabh Goswami. And he was dressed up in his, all his puja clothes, a bundi and everything. And he said, Maharaj, and he like that and this and that. So we greet each other, and I said, and I just said, Radha Raman is so beautiful. I can't take my eyes off him. And he said, yes. He said, this darshan of Radha Raman is not available. This darshan is not available anywhere in the whole universe. And then the way when he said it, then I realized, oh, he's really taking darshan. my eyes are open when I take darshan to some extent. But of course, they're open and looking through so much ignorance. But when he takes darshan, his heart is open. So, you know, the eyes of his heart are open. And he's taking darshan with the eyes of his heart. And he kind of showed me a little corner of that heart at that particular evening. So that, of course, enhanced the extreme sweetness of the experience. And we're forever indebted to Radha Raman for giving us that glimpse into the heart of a real devotee, so we can aspire for some future lifetime to have eyes in our heart and to see the Lord with such purity of heart and vision. And then he went on to elaborate and substantiate his realized statement of pure devotional love as the Pujari and the son of Radha Raman. Why is he the son of Radha Raman? Because all the ladies of the Radha Raman Goswamis, when they want to have a child, on the disappearance day of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, they go into his samadhi. This is part of their family rituals or family devotions, we could say, devotional practices. Their men, their husbands, they do puja and stutis and stotras and prayers and prarthanas and obeisances and all kinds of coconuts and artiks and all that kind of things they do. But the ladies, they go in and they fast that day. I think it's one day a year, or maybe Janmashtami also probably. And they fast, they take coconuts, and they go in and they circumambulate and they pray to Gopal Bhatta Goswami on his disappearance day. It's kind of unusual, but this is their tradition. Oh, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, you're a great Siddha saint. You're a great eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya. You've established this Radha Raman deity from your heart. And so please, you bless us. We are in your dynasty. We are in your Seva dynasty. Please bless us with a son. Please bless me that I will produce a son for the service of your beloved Thakurji. Because we need so many sons, because a son has to do the puja. So please, I have no desire. Please bless me with a son that I can offer at the lotus feet of Radha Raman. So this is the prarthana of the Matajis of the Goswami families of Radha Raman. So to say that the different pujaris there are the sons of Radha Raman is quite appropriate, because this is how the background to that statement. So then Padmanabha Goswami went on to explain, after he explained that statement, he substantiated it by saying, just see how beautiful he is. Just now, a few minutes before this, he had his sponge bath. Radha Raman was in his bathroom. His body was sponged with ice cold water. And then it was rubbed. We rubbed nice fresh kadamba oil and kus oil and kadamba oil all over his limbs and neck and back and legs and feet and hands and face. And now we dressed him very nicely and gave him some boga. And now he's taking his last darshan and he's looking so beautiful. And he said, now after this, he will retire to his bedroom. He will take some hot milk and a little snack, and then he will take rest. This is Radha Raman. I was like, wow. He kept opening more and more doors of the beautiful features and pastimes of Radha Raman. As he said each of those things, I was being led to see those things by his mercy. And because we don't have adhikar in this life to serve in that intimate way, or to see those intimate pastimes of Radha Raman. But through the eyes of devotees and through the mercy of devotees, we may attain the vision of these very rare and intimate services performed by the eternal associates of the Lord. So this is Radha Raman. So we're describing how Loknath Goswami, he was very renounced. He was a great tyagi. He lived under this tree in Umrao, and he wore an old quilt and an outer cloth. During the rains, Loknath Goswami would keep his Lord, Vinod, Radha Vinod, inside the hollow of a tree, and he would remain outside getting wet. So this is interesting Krishna is always first in the life of a devotee. Krishna first, me second. Of course, that sounds easy to say, but to realize that and to put it into practice in our life, that if you do that, and that's your constant moment-to-moment meditation, moment-to-moment action, then you are certainly a pure devotee. Krishna first and me second. So it's raining, so heavy rains are coming down, so he finds a tree that's naturally opened up to create a hollow inside for the purpose of serving Radha Vinod. So he could, of course, go inside there himself, because there's different stories of other Babaji's that would sit inside trees, or these are even discussions of some of these Nityasiddhas when you read their life stories, how one Nityasiddha devotee, or it's not Nityasiddha, but he was a Siddha Vaishnava. He had attained perfection. He was wandering. It was heavy rains falling in Vrindavan in the forest some 100 years ago. And then he came in this one forest, and the rains are falling, and then the two trees are ordinary trees. Well, not ordinary, I mean they're a couple of rickshaws. And then he was standing there, there wasn't many leaves on the trees, but the heavy rain was coming, and he was getting all wet. So then the trees started speaking to each other. And then the Goswami, he was a Paramahamsa, in Paramahamsa Vaish, Babaji, he could hear the conversation. He was a little bit thinking, am I going a little crazy? Am I too austere? Am I hearing voices or what? Because, you know, we have maybe hear voices, but we're not exactly Siddha saints. So he heard these trees, and he went a little closer, and he heard they were side by side, they were having a conversation. So one of them said, hey, look, why don't you give shelter to this Baba? He's a very confidential servant of Radharani. He's a very beloved devotee of Radharani. Why don't you give him shelter? And the other one says, well, why don't you give him shelter? He says, because you don't have any leaves, and, you know, what am I supposed to give? I don't know. And then the other one says, come on, open your heart. Don't be so cheap, you know. Don't be so stingy or so selfish. Give him some shelter. He said, what do you want me to do? I said, just open your heart. He says, all right, open my heart. So then the tree opened up. So that the trunk of the tree opened up and became hollow. And then the one that requested that of his friend tree, he told the Baba, hey Baba, come on inside. It's dry in here. So the Baba was like, wow, what's this? Maybe okay, I see it seems to be real, but what if I go inside that tree and then it closes up? Well, I don't know if it doesn't say that he thought that, but that's what I would think. Being a little bit more on an external platform. But anyway, he took shelter in that tree and was like that. So in this case, Loknath Swami, he found a tree that was hollow, naturally, but he didn't crawl inside himself. He apparently wasn't room somehow, or somehow he didn't want to be there himself. And he put Radha Vinod there, and he stood out in the rain. At other times, Loknath Goswami would keep Radha Vinod in an old bag hanging on his chest. So he had a bag, something like that, around his neck. It was old, but it certainly wasn't dirty. There was some old cloth he found, but it was always very clean. And inside that bag he carried his deities. I remember when we first heard this, we thought how touching it is, having seen Radha Vinod in Jayapur, and what an extraordinary... deities are not exactly tiny deities. The deities of Radha Vinod are about this big, as I recall, and Radha Vinod seems to eat quite nicely. Although, as I was mentioning, Loknath Goswami was only feeding his deity some kacha bhog that he would beg. Something like Madan Mohan, feeding him bhatti. A little shak, a little spinach, a little bhatti, a few little things he begged and cooked. But we see that Vinod is quite chubby. Vinod is quite chubby, has very full cheeks and big neck and nice big fat fleshy soft arms, and looks like he eats quite well. So that means that Loknath Goswami was feeding him very nicely in his meditation. That he was offering chapan bhog in his meditation, as was Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami, in his internal offering, he was offering 56 preparations. But externally, he was offering bhatti, without any salt. And we know all about that pastime. So he was, he's a very heavy deity. In other words, Radha Vinod, from external viewpoint, probably weighs about 10 kilos, or maybe 15 kilos, black stone deity, this big, quite robust. And he was carrying that around his neck. And he wasn't any big weightlifter, Loknath Goswami. He was a Bengali Vaishnava, not a very big stature. But he didn't feel any difficulty. He didn't feel any difficulty in carrying the Lord. Just as Madhavendra Puri didn't feel any difficulty carrying 40 kilos of chandan from Puri to Vrindavan. Of course, he didn't make it so far. But he went there on the order of Gopal to collect some chandan from Puri. It was very, very heavy. Chandan and kapoor, camphor. But he said, oh, this is a burden of love. I feel no difficulty. I'm carrying the order of my Ishtadev is actually carrying me. So what is the order of my Ishtadev? The order of my Gopal Dev is to go collect some sandalwood. So I've collected sufficient sandalwood for a good amount of time. I collected 40 kilos. I was donated or something by the king of the Gajapati of Orissa, donated for the service of the Lord. It was a very costly protected item. So he donated 40 kilos to Madhavendra Puri. But he didn't feel any difficulty carrying that heavy weight because he was acting under the order of his Ishtadev. So the order, although the order of Guru may be heavy, or the order of Krishna may be heavy, the order itself actually carries you. So it wasn't that the sandalwood, the order, he had the order to carry this heavy sandalwood. Oh, it's so heavy. The Lord gave me an unbearable order, an impossible order to fulfill and carry. No, he didn't feel any difficulty at all. Because what happens is, the order of Guru, or the order of Krishna, you don't carry the order carries you. That's why we say that the power, the shakti and power and ability to carry out the order of the Guru and Krishna comes from Guru and Krishna. So that means they give you the order, but that order that they give you carries you. I don't know if you understand this transcendental logic, but Gopal gave him an order to carry 80 kilos of chandan, but Gopal carried it. So when he picked it up, he didn't feel any difficulty, didn't feel any problem. So in the same way, Loknath Goswami, when he was ordered by the Lord to carry his Lord and move his Lord here and there, he put him around his neck in a bag and he didn't feel, I've got 15 kilos around my neck, like some kind of stone albatross or something, the fictitious albatross, but a literal albatross. He didn't feel that I had this heavy burden, this golograha, or this heavy burden around my neck. He rather felt joyful and carefree, and how fortunate I am to carry my Lord wherever I go. He's on my heart, in my heart, around my neck. So hearing this about Loknath Goswami, we're very touched by that scene and that pastime. And we always remembered that. And at one point in our lives, we had the opportunity to receive a deity. And so we also carry our deity around our neck when we travel, in remembrance of Loknath Goswami, being inspired by his example. Of course, our deity is very small and very light, or at least he seems light, but also it seems very heavy sometimes to carry. So this is a very nice thing to see, that he would take any trouble for the pleasure of the Lord. Whenever Loknath Goswami would remember the pastimes of Lord Gaurachandra, he would become overwhelmed and cry at this place. So, actually, there's a larger description of this pastime of Loknath Goswami. I'm not sure if it's in Bhakti Ratnakara or somewhere else. But I remember reading some time ago when we last read this book that what had happened is Loknath Goswami, when he first came to Vrindavan, he didn't have any deity of Krishna. He was just wandering around with his friend Bhugarbha and rolling in the dust and chanting his mala and praying to Lord Chaitanya and Vrindadevi and Lord Krishna and Chaitaguru Antaryami to reveal the different pastime places of Radha and Krishna. So they were moving all over the Dwadasavan, Trosi Kosh Parikrama, and they would note down and discover different places, but they didn't have much luck. They weren't so successful. So when Lord Chaitanya, understanding that, then he sent Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, and he embraced them and particularly empowered them for those four things to fulfill his desire to find all those, uncover different deities, establish worship, write grantas about these philosophy. It only says this one place. But I believe elsewhere it's described that as Loknath Goswami was moving around, so he was at this particular place, I believe it was Umrao, at Kishorikund. And he was staying over there doing madhukari and making something, offering it, taking prasad. And then he was thinking and desiring like this to worship Krishna. And then as he was dozing off to sleep or in his meditation, then appearing on the side of Kishorikund, there was Radha Vinod. Radha Vinod appeared there. And Loknath Goswami opened his eyes and he saw this deity of Krishna, very beautiful deity of Krishna,
as you can see, in Jaipur. And he said, oh, Krishna, Krishna, how satisfying, how pleasing. Vinod, the word Vinod means to give pleasure, to give satisfaction. Radha Pramod, Radha Vinod, so Bhakti Vinod. So Vinod means to give satisfaction and pleasure. So he felt so much satisfaction and pleasure. I think as soon as he saw the deity, he said, oh, Radha Vinod. He was saying, Radha Vinod, Radha Vinod. I was overwhelmed. But he was just looking and gazing, and then Radha Vinod spoke to him. He said, hey, Baba. He said, you wanted me. You were desiring me. You were desiring to serve me and have a deity. I'm here. Now, you know, I'm hungry. Get me something to eat, you know. Get with it. Snap to it. Do some seva. Oh, yeah, yeah. Because he was so enamored and overwhelmed by the transcendental beauty of the form of the Lord and the appearance, the manifestation of the Lord before him, that he was a little bit, I couldn't function properly. So then the Lord said, hey, come on, let's go. You know, that means service. You're my Jivara Swarupaya Krishna Nitya Das. You're supposed to serve now. Get to it. Stop gazing and gawking and enjoying me and relishing my beauty and do some service. So then he ran into the village of this Kishori Kund at Umrao, and then he got some things and made an offering. So this pastime is also here or elsewhere described, how Radha Vinod actually came out of the loving desire of his pure devotee, Loknath Goswami. He manifested in this world to accept his loving service and to give us his blessings by giving his darshan and allowing us to also render service when we go see him in Jayapur. Of course, Loknath Goswami, these points may be less remembered or understood than the idea that he initiated Naratam. And he was very firm about not accepting any disciples and just doing his nirjan bhajan and carrying out the order of Lord Chaitanya. But one night, while he was living in Vrindavan, Loknath Goswami had a dream. And in the dream, Mahaprabhu appeared to him and said, listen, I'm sending a great personality to you, a Narottam. Nara means human being, and Uttam means great. Like we have Uttamadikari, very advanced personality. So Narottam, I'm sending one Narottam, because Narottam in one sense is like a category or a name of a people. Narottam, he's a great soul, he's a great person, Narottam. And it's also the particular appellation of one devotee or a name of one devotee. So he said, I'm sending one Narottam. So Loknath Goswami thought, oh, well, okay, great. You're sending some great person to me, some big man, Narottam, some very, very high personality in Narottam. So fine. And I want you, and then Lord Chaitanya said, I want you to initiate him, give him Diksha mantras, and train him and teach him. So he had this dream, and he didn't make much of it. He didn't take it too seriously. And he met different people over the next few months that were also very exalted. And he thought maybe those were some of the Narottams. And meanwhile, in East Bengal, Narottam Das Thakur, he had a dream of Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu told him, he said, you go to Vrindavan. And there was one Loknath. He's the Lord of the living entities. He's the shelter. He's the Loknath. Loknath means planets or living entities, and Nath means Lord. So he's the Lord and the shelter giver of all the living entities. You go there to Vrindavan and take shelter. He'll give you diksha and training. And you serve him. So now Lord Chaitanya is directing the guru, and he's directing the shishya. This is called a divine marriage or a divine arrangement. And this is the actual proper meeting of guru and disciple. It's arranged by Krishna. Brahmande brahmate kon guru Krishna prasade bhai bhakti lata bij. That Krishna is guiding the jiva according to the maturation of his faith, his shraddha, as it matures and develops and condenses and thickens due to the performance of spiritual activities and spiritual punya, bhakti unmukhi karma, activities which produce bhakti, then Krishna directs that jiva to a qualified guru. And then that jiva gets initiation. So actually, you don't pick your guru. No one picks their guru. Krishna picks the guru based on what you have in your hand. What is your sukriti? What do you deserve? What kind of guru do you deserve? What is your advancement? Like you might have, there may be, say, 10 different types of cars for sale for 5 lakhs. 5 lakhs of rupees. So you have, now, first you have to get the 5 lakhs. So once you have the 5 lakhs, you can purchase a car. So you have the 5 lakhs, but then somebody else says, okay, we're going to buy this car. You say, like your wife or something. husband has no decision. Even though there's like 10 different cars for the same price. So once you have the adhikar to receive guru or have that sukriti, then Krishna will choose. And if you have, if you only have a little bit of money or a little purchasing power of spiritual sukriti and punya, then you'll get some, you know, Osho or Rajneesh or whomever as your guru. Krishna in the heart, the Chaitya Guru will guide you there, because that you have the power to buy such a soul as your teacher or guru. And someone else, they have a lot more purchasing power, so Krishna will select for them. Oh, you have 50 lakhs. Oh, you can get one Rolls Royce, or one, well, maybe not Rolls Royce. Maybe you can get one used Mercedes. You buy one Mercedes Benz, so then Krishna will choose. Oh, here, you take this car. So the guru is like the real guru disciple. You pray, you simply pray and endeavor, and you'll get what you deserve. The guru you receive is what you deserve. So Krishna chooses that guru for you. So this is the example of that. In the case of Lokanath Goswami Narottam, Lokanath, he had no ambition, no desire, no thought, no dream, anything, or well, dream before this, of having any disciples or students or whatever. But Lord Chaitanya appeared to him and said, no, look, you're going to take this disciple. And even after receiving that direct order, Agya means order. So in my order, become guru. So Lokanath Goswami had direct order from Lord Chaitanya to be guru, but still he was reluctant and hesitant and didn't follow the order in a seemingly, surprisingly rebellious way. Although ordered in a dream by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So Narottam in the same way was ordered, you go here. He didn't know even anything. Never saw Lokanath Goswami, hardly heard about him. Because he was very young when Lokanath Goswami left that side of the world. Because he was quite a bit younger. So then Narottam came over here, because Lokanath is very much older. Older than Sanatan Goswami, and they're quite a bit older. So he was ordered by the Lord. So then he came here and he met Lokanath Goswami. He said, my name's Narottam. And then he said, oh, acha. He didn't let on. He didn't say, oh, I had a dream about you. Lord Chaitanya said, I'm supposed to initiate you. He said, acha. Okay, Narottam. So he didn't think, what kind of Narottam are you? Are you just calling yourself Narottam? Or are you a real Narottam? Because sometimes in India it's the custom that if your son is born blind, you give him the name Padmalochan. It's like a joke Prabhupada tells in the tape. He says, just like in India, the child's Andajana, he's born blind. And he said, what's your son's name? Oh, he's Padmalochan. Lochan means eyes, and Padma means a lotus. He's lotus-eyed. His eyes are very big, and long eyelashes and whatever, like a, you know, beautiful eyes like some children you see. Or, so it's kind of, so he said, oh, my name's Narottam. So then, of course, Lokanath said, okay, you're Narottam, but you know what is Narottam means? You're a great personality. You're a great. But Narottam knew what he was doing, because he came to Vrindavan. He followed the order in the dream. He came. He found Lokanath, and he followed. Did what Lord Chaitanya said. He surrendered to his feet, and he was rejected. So then he was a little bit disturbed, but he was persistent and determined, because he's being driven and ordered by God himself, by Lord Chaitanya, to do this thing. It's not a speculation. It's not imagination. It's not like, oh, he's my guru. Oh, I like his this, I like his that. I never saw him before. I never met him before. Krishna directed me. Krishna picked him out for me. This is Sadguru. That Krishna. I'm just praying and praying, praying to Lord Nityananda in my heart, and I'm praying to Krishna in my heart. Please, Lord Nityananda, you're the mercy. Krishna's mercy is expressed to the conditioned soul who doesn't have guru yet. Krishna expresses his mercy through Nityananda, because he's the original guru. And then Nityananda manifests as your initiating guru, and then the mercy comes through him. That's why guru represents Nityananda and Radharani. But initially you don't have guru, so how do you get Krishna's mercy? Because guru is the repository of Krishna's mercy. So that mercy comes by praying to Lord Nityananda. You get guru kripa through his mercy. So you pray to Lord Nityananda, please, you're Krishna's wing of mercy. You're Krishna's incarnation of mercy, and you're always bestowing your rain of mercy on the fallen soul. So I'm definitely a Jagai and Mudai, so I'm praying, Nityananda, please give me mercy. I need shelter. I need guru. I need guidance. I need protection. I need teaching. I need knowledge. I need bhakti. I need prema. I'm very much needy. So you pray to Lord Nityananda, please send me guru. So now, if you're really genuine and really sincere and have a lot of sukriti and are not a bogus person, I love that word, not a bogus person and you're not an ulterior motivated person, that you really want money and you really want fame and you really want family or husband or wife, and all these are really dear things to you, and Krishna bhakti and prema and mukti and liberation and Krishna darshan, as we heard this morning about seeing Krishna, those are all secondary. They're important things, but they're secondary things to you. But you're actually motivated more primarily and more forcefully by these less pure motives, or what we say materialistic desires. So that's your purchasing power. So your prayer will be received and accepted accordingly. But if you're not of that nature, if you're carrying prabdha karma, which influences you in a particular way to think and desire materially, but in your heart of hearts, in your mind of minds, and in your true self, you consider those considerations and those pushings of prabdha to be secondary and to be not me and not desirable and not really wantable, but maybe I have to go through them. And so, but the real thrust of my life, the real outward expression of my heart's desire is bhakti. I want to seek, as the Swamiji was saying, I want to seek Krishna, but first we have to become pure, and then we develop the desire, and then we develop the qualification by more purity, etc. So we have to, but I really want to see Krishna, I really want to, or just see him or serve him, and I really want to love Krishna and all these other things. I'm carrying this heavy burden of these painful, weighty distractions of my material desires from last life and this life. But anyway, I hope I can throw those away and shake those off. But this is the real burning thing of my life. That's a very genuine and sincere sadhaku who has attained that position of resolve in sankalpa after many, many janams. Ahonam janmanamante gyanamanman prapadyante vasudeva sarvamati. Krishna is everything, but I have a few other things, a few other side orders. He's everything. So that person, Krishna is everything, but I have a few side orders. You know, side order pizza, ice cream, this, that. But, I mean, when you say Krishna is everything, then you're pure devotee. He's my Bahir Krishna, Antar Krishna, everywhere Krishna. That's pure devotee. But one who has, at least he has pure desire and pure sankalpa, then when he's praying to Lord Nityananda, and Lord Nityananda will personally select very, very extraordinary guru for that person because of the sincerity of his desire and his qualification. In any regard, so that's why we pray to Lord Nityananda's heart, please, you make the decision. So in the same way, as we're hearing, Lord Chaitanya chose Lokanath Goswami for Narottam. And that's really called a divine arrangement. That when you throw yourself at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda and say, please, I don't want to let my choice of guru to be a projection of my mind or my emotions. Oh, I like this one. He's nice. Or he's so sweet. Or he's Indian. And I want to buy Indian. Be Indian, buy Indian. Or, he's ungrazed. Be ungrazed, buy ungrazed. You know, no, don't break the caste. Don't break the color thing, you know. I don't want to be a victim of all these ulterior motives. This is all upadis. This is all layers and conditioning on my choice. I don't even want to make the choice because I can't make the choice because I'm so conditioned and so covered with illusion and I can't see reality, nor can I express the reality of my genuine heart. So because my reality becomes filtered through all these misconceptions and illusions and false identities that I've been carrying around life after life. So I think guru means Indian. Even though I don't say it, but somewhere in the corner of my mind, I believe it. I believe that guru means Indian. Yeah, you know, if I'm Indian, I believe guru means Indian. I mean, I won't say it, at least not around here. But, you know, maybe to my two Indian friends. So that's Maya. Is it Krishna, one who knows Krishna Veda Tattva, say Guru Hai. One who knows Krishna science, he is Guru. Lord Chaitanya is manifesting gurus in Croatia, in Russia, in Australia, everywhere around the world. He's manifesting gurus to spread his movement in every town and village. Everybody that speaks Croatian, how is somebody that speaks Bengali and Hindi going to preach to them? He's never going to catch Croatian or speaks Russian. Russian is not, it's like an impossible language to read or speak or hear. hear it, speak it or read it is impossible. Unless you're an extraordinary person. So who will do that work? He'll in some cases, he'll take somebody that's from somewhere else and empower him to learn Russian. Or he'll take some, little kid from the Bronx, he'll take a little kid from Brooklyn, and take that kid, Lord Chaitanya will take that little kid from the Brooklyn and say, little kid, I'm going to give you an interesting name. I'm going to call you Womapati. So now, little kid, your name is Womapati. Now, little kid, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to teach you Chinese. And I'm going to teach you Chinese. And now I'm going to wind you up. And you're going to go to China. And you're going to go in as a professor of English. And wear a tie and suit. And you're going to liberate China. But he's not a guru because he's not Indian. So we have many misconceptions of spiritual reality. It is beyond the grasp of our limited mind and senses. So because of this, we are incapable of choosing guru. That's why many wrong choices are made. Unqualified disciples choose unqualified gurus, and all left, right, center, and we know all the nuances and varieties of those problems. So this is where all we can do is throw our hands above our heads and say, Jai Nitai, Jai Nitai, Jai Nitai, as they say in Ekachakra. Every little kid, every old man, every old lady, every cow, animal, dog, tree, leaf, every leaf of every tree in Ekachakra is saying, Jai Nitai, Jai Nitai, Jai Nitai. This is some teaching we get from Loknath Goswami on his holy disappearance day today. Reminded something about his wonderful qualities of devotion. And he was so kind upon us that he left this world, but he also left us a great treasure in the form of his example and teachings of his life, his extreme humility and renunciation, and the power of his devotion invoked the presence of Radha and Krishna to enter this world in a very divine and beautiful form, and they're still remaining here for some time to be seen and served in Jayapur when we go there. If we have the fortune to go there. So we're indebted to great personalities like Loknath Goswami because they teach us many things. We want to always remember their lotus feet and pray to them for their divine mercy. Srila Prabhupada must have been thinking of Loknath Goswami back in 1972 in Kartik. Because in 1972 in Kartik, Prabhupada was sitting in the Radhadamodar temple in Sevakunj, which was the place of Bhugarbha Goswami's samadhi, as we've mentioned. And Bhugarbha Goswami and Loknath are very good friends. That was a kunj. It was actually a kunj there originally. And Rupa Goswami would do, that was called Seva Kunj. And Rupa Goswami would go there in Seva Kunj and write poetry. And he would meet with Loknath Goswami. And he would meet with Bhugarbha Goswami right there in a courtyard of where those samadhis are. And they would have very intimate and beautiful discussions about the sweet, loving pastimes of Radha Damodar and Radha Madhava and Radha Vinod. And so that place is saturated with the presence of Loknath Goswami and his beloved dear friend Bhugarbha Goswami is there. So remembering all these things and feeling all these vibrations, when Prabhupada called forward one new bhakta to initiate him, he was remembering Loknath Goswami. So when he gave the beads to this one boy, he said, you promise to chant 16 rounds every day on your mala and follow the four regular principles? He says, yes, Prabhupada, your name is Loknath Goswami. Loknath Goswami ki! So our beloved godbrother on that holy day in Kartik, I don't know exactly what day, but he, I believe, if I'm correct, he took his nam, his initiation from Srila Prabhupada in 1972, in Kartik, in Vrindavan, in Sevakunj, and he received the name of Loknath Goswami. So Prabhupada has blessed all of us with a wonderful devotee, of course, Loknath Goswami, but also by giving him that name, which is the purpose of all our names, is to remember Guru and Krishna, to remember Gaur and Krishna and Radha and all the Parishads, the Bhagavad Parishads, as we sang that song. So whenever we see Loknath Goswami, we also think of his great ancestry, his namesake, Loknath Goswami. Loknath Goswami, he was determined because his Guru was chosen by Krishna. Not by his mind, not by his emotions, not by his eyes. The eyes is the last way to choose. The last way to choose guru is by the eyes. But mostly we choose by the eyes. We choose everything. We choose this body by the eyes. We choose our next body by the eyes also. Hey, that she looks pretty nice. And the men look at the ladies all their lives, you know. And then they choose, with their eyes, they choose that body in the next life. They get lady's body. It's the usual system. So we choose everything with the eyes, which they're very poor decision makers. The eyes are very, very poor. Well, they have some expression of believe half of what you see and or nothing of what you see and half of what you hear. There's some expression like that. Anyway, he was ordered by Lord Chaitanya, so he came here to Vrindavan. He was very persistent, so he thought, how to attain the favor of the Vaishnava? Somehow, we have to get his favor. So, of course, Vaishnavas are compassionate, so I have to render service. But he is of such a stature Lokanath Goswami is such a stature that he refuses to accept any sort of service from anyone. He doesn't want any service. Even though Narottam came to him, he said, "Oh, Gurudev, maybe I can do some seva for you in your kutir. I can clean or wash your kapra. I'll do madukari for you, or maybe I can cook for your deities." And he said, no, you go from here. You chant, go do bhajan. Leave me alone. And something. Can I do anything? Maybe you're tired. I rub your leg, something, massage. No, get out. Go away from me. I don't. Just get lost. Completely like nonplussed. He was not interested and couldn't care less about any accepting any kind of seva. Very, very reluctant. And this, of course, is the mood of our sampradaya. There's great reluctance to accept any recognition, to accept any service from anyone, but only to render service to one and all at every moment. That is the motto of the Gaudiya Vaishnava. Let me serve one and all at every moment and accept nothing from anyone at any time for myself. This is the genuine Gaudiya Vaishnava. So Lokanath Goswami was a perfect exemplar of this enlightening principle of life. So naturally he wouldn't accept any type of most insignificant little service. So Narottam was not a fool, he was a very intelligent person, and determined. He had determination to carry out and serve the order of Lord Chaitanya and attain Guru Parashraya, shelter at the feet of his Guru, no matter what, hell or high water, as they say. And he thought, well, I have to do some seva, because if there's no seva, there's no grace. If I can't do any seva, then I'll never be able to fulfill the order of the Lord. I have an order from the Lord. I cannot fulfill this order from the Lord without the mercy of my Guru. And I cannot receive the mercy of my Guru without serving my Guru. So somehow I have to serve my Guru to get his mercy so I can fulfill the order of Krishna in this particular case. So driven by that realization, he had a revelation from Krishna in the heart. Here's a service you can do. He goes every day to a particular place which is usually designated in any area, but this is quite public. But he went to a place for passing every day. For maintaining his body, he went to one field. And in those days, of course, in the old days of Braj, there wasn't like 40 million pigs everywhere. Practically speaking, there wasn't any pigs in Vrindavan, believe it or not. And there wasn't too many monkeys either. Like, there was deep forest, so there was lots of monkeys, but they also get eaten by the other creatures in the deep forest. There's a natural balance. Now there's nobody to eat the monkeys, and the monkeys eat everybody. Everything and everybody, so they're quite prolific and everywhere. And because there's no forest, so they make everybody's house a tree, and they raid everybody's house instead of the trees. They used to raid the trees and pick all the figs and off the branches and everything. And now they raid everybody's houses and steal the food. It's not their fault. They're forced to live, so we should serve them also and help them. At any rate, so there are no pigs there to do the sanitation department, which they're doing a good job these days. So therefore, Lokanath Goswami, he was going there and passing. And then Narottam, he went over there and he cleaned that area. Very surreptitiously, in a secret way, he would hide over there and then clean. And then Lokanath Goswami, he didn't take too much to figure out that this ground has been swept. And there were no bungees in those days. It was all forest, practically speaking. No real even footpaths. So there was a few footpaths 500 years ago. So it's obvious that the ground has been swept. And of course, according to Shastra, you purify ground, you purify earth by sweeping it. That's one way. Different articles are purified in different ways. So by sweeping earth, the earth becomes purified. So he swept that place and purified it and removed different things and made it nice. So Lokanath Goswami came to understand, oh, someone is doing this. And I wonder who. I wonder who it could be. So he understood it was Narottam Das. So he didn't make much mind of it. So then time to time, Narottam would go to Jiva. Because Narottam Das Goswami was taking shelter of Jiva. His Jiva was taking shelter of Jiva. So Jiva Goswami was a shelter for all the Jivas. So he was giving shiksha to Narottam and Srinivas and Shamananda and so many others that came to Vrindavan, giving them various shiksha on one side of Seva Kunj, and then another side over by Nidiban, where Lokanath was doing his bhajan in Nidiban area. That was all Nidiban. So then Narottam would go over and see Jiva and hear from him, then he would say, Jiva, I'm not having any luck. He doesn't pay any attention to me. He doesn't hardly want to talk to me. I can't do any seva. So then he said, anyway, you ask him today, ask him. So then he would meet, Narottam would meet Lokanath and say, please give your mercy to this fallen one. You know, he would address himself as Narottam. You know, his name was Narottam, but he would address this, if you know Sanskrit, Narottam. Narottam, I think Narodama means Narottam, means the lowest among men. He said, I am Narottam, I'm not Narottam, I'm not the top, I'm Narottam. Oh, Lokanath, I'm Narottam and you're Lokanath. You're Lokanath, you're the Lord of the living entities. Please give me your shelter, give me your kindness. Won't you be kind to this one Narottam, Patita Narottam, and this fallen one? So like that he would phrase his request in a very humble way and continue. So finally, after some time, after 1 year had passed, and of course Jiva Goswami was sometimes speaking with Lokanath Goswami also, doing a little lobbying on behalf of the Shishya. He said, Lokanath, I mean, come on, you know. You can just, at least you can take one disciple. And so he said, gotcha, Lok. Because it wasn't Jiva's position to instruct Lokanath, because Lokanath was considerably older than Jiva. So Jiva, in a very humble way, had to very gently and mildly make a suggestion, push up a suggestion to his senior godbrother in a Shiksha sense. So then finally, after 1 year, due to the repeated encouragements of Jiva and Lord Chaitanya again appearing in a dream to Lokanath saying, please, will you initiate this person? Then after 1 year, this humble service of cleaning this stool field and like this and praying to Lord Nityananda, please give me my guru. Then Lokanath agreed and he gave him Diksha and accepted him as his disciple. So it was a great victory for Narottam Das Thakur and his determination to attain shelter. And of course that was already chosen by Krishna, by Lord Chaitanya. Sri Lokanath Goswami Pada Ki. Yeah.